In the gospel reading today, we hear about Jesus telling his disciples that he is going to be handed over, he's going to be crucified, he would rise again on the third day. When we listen to the exchange that happened, it seems that the apostles didn't recognize what Jesus said about rising on the third day. It's almost like they didn't hear it. Of course, we can understand they didn't get it. No one had ever risen from the dead, so how would they be able to understand? And yet when we hear about St. Peter then taking our Lord aside and having the gall to rebuke him, think about that, for saying that he was going to be put to death. And Jesus said, you are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Now, on one hand, we could look at that and go, well, yeah, I'm a human being. What do you expect? We're made in the image and likeness of God. You and I have been baptized, and we are therefore children of God. We have been elevated to a divine level of acting and being. And consequently, the whole point is that we are to be conformed to the Lord. In other words, we can actually learn to think as God does. Clearly, that is not what comes naturally to us. Otherwise, our Lord wouldn't have had to say, you're thinking as human beings do and not as God does. But if that's the case, then we recognize it's something supernatural. And that's exactly what our Lord is doing for us. He's giving us his life, the supernatural grace to be able to live as the children of God. Now, the great question we all have to ask is, do we want that? On one hand, of course, we're going to look at it and say, well, yeah, I want to be lifted up. I want to be able to go to heaven. I want to have eternal life. And then we look at it the other way and ask, practically speaking, do we really, truly want to live this faith? Because we know what that's going to mean. It's going to require a lot of rejection. It's going to require a lot of being misunderstood. It's going to require that we accept being shunned, isolated, ridiculed, whatever it may be. Do we want that? In the second reading, St. James says that faith without works is dead. So if we're going to give lip service to Jesus, if we're going to come here on Sunday and say, well, I believe, but on Monday we're going to go out there and say, I'll live like a pagan, all we're doing is giving him lip service. Do we really, truly believe? So really, I suppose it comes back to that question that our blessed Lord asked in the gospel today. Who do you say that I am? There are lots of things that we can look at, and who do people say that he is? These days, they're not going to say, well, some say John the Baptist and some say Elijah or one of the prophets. Instead, they're going to say, well, Jesus is a good man. Well, Jesus, maybe he was a prophet. Well, he's a teacher of righteousness. He is God. He is God. Now each one of us needs to ask the question, do I believe that? Because that's what it's all about. He is the Savior of the world because he is God. If he is not God, we shouldn't be here. If he is not God, our baptism is worth nothing. If he's not God, bread and wine remain bread and wine. Nothing happens. If he is not God, our sins are not forgiven. These are not minor things that we can look at and go, well, I don't know, what do you think? No, he's either God or he's not. There is no in between. He's not partially God. He's not maybe God. He is Lord and God. He alone is Lord and God. So I guess we can ask the simple question, is he Lord of my life? Because we hear about what Jesus himself did in the first reading. It's a prophecy from Isaiah, so it's looking 400 or 700 years rather in advance. And he says, I have not rebelled. I have not turned back. Is there anyone here who can say that? That I have not rebelled? All too often we have. And what happens when our faith gets pressed? What happens when it's challenged? What happens when we're the lone sheep among a bunch of wolves? Do we suddenly decide that maybe it's more politically correct, or at least to save our own skin, that we'll just deny him? In other words, we just rebelled. We just turned back. We decided that faith in Jesus Christ is really not that important. In other words, we claim to have faith, but we don't have works. We can't even maintain the faith or bring it to others if that's the case. This is exceedingly important. Especially, just think what's happened in the last week. What a tragedy, the fact that we'd even have to bring this up. We have someone in the very chair of St. Peter who told the priests in Indonesia, a country of 87% Muslim, you can't evangelize. Really? The church is missionary. You can't evangelize. Well, the word he uses, proselytize. You can't bring the gospel to people who don't believe in Jesus. Really? But then it became clear why. 2 days ago in Singapore, he told a group of young people that all religions lead to the same God. Well, no wonder we don't want to evangelize, because we don't believe that Jesus is the only way and the truth and the life. Jesus is a way, but so are all these others. They're all leading to the same place. What a bunch of garbage. Jesus founded one church. One. He alone is the way to heaven. He made that absolutely clear. Again, let's go back and ask the question, who do you say that Jesus is? Because he himself said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Not there are lots of ways to be able to get to the same God. There is one way, and that is Jesus, the only way. So when we see this coming from the highest levels of the church, this needs to raise some red flags. But more than that, it needs to be a challenge to each one of us to be able to ask the question, what do I really believe? If we see, even among the highest of the clergy, waffling on this, it tells me only one thing. There's no faith. We don't really believe in Jesus. So what do we believe in if we don't believe in Jesus? Is this just a feel-good thing? Do we just come to church so that I can feel good about having done something nice? Or are we here to worship God? Am I here because I absolutely, 100% truly believe that Jesus is who he said that he is? Because that's what this is all about. If he's not who he said he is, then this whole thing is fake. Or it is just about feeling good because everything is equal. Doesn't matter if you're Muslim or if you're Hindu or if you're whatever, it's all leading to the same place. No, it's not. It may be true that all the various religions have some elements of truth to them, but we don't believe in the same God. They do not lead us to the same God. There is only one God. That one God is three persons. And he is so in love with you that he became one of you so that you could be with him. There is only one way to approach that, and that is through him. No other. So if we're going to say that we have faith, that we're going to say that we believe in Jesus, then we really truly believe who he says that he is, not who we decide to think that he is, because there are all kinds of fake ones. Remember, we're made in his image and likeness, but we keep trying to make him into our image and likeness. We keep trying to make Jesus who we want him to be. Then we get the warm, fuzzy Jesus. Or we get the Jesus who really doesn't want any suffering. Didn't he say you have to take up your cross and deny yourself if you want to be my follower? Oh, no, Jesus doesn't really want that. No, he did all the suffering so you don't have to. Yeah, it doesn't say that anywhere. So let's be real. And let's be honest. Either Jesus Christ is Lord and God, or he is not. Period. Who do you say that he is? This is absolutely critical. And it's become more critical now than it ever has been since the very beginning of the church. Because we are seeing people walking away in droves. That means that we are becoming a minority. When we're the majority, it's kind of easy, just get along and go along. Everybody does it. We'll just go to church and we'll just fit in. We'll stand and sit and kneel when everybody else does. What's the big deal? Maybe it's really a gift that we're becoming the minority. Because now we really have to make a decision. Are we going to live this or are we not? Are we going to be serious about this or are we not? If we're just going to try to fit in, we're on the wrong path at this point, because fitting in is not living the faith in Jesus Christ. It's not even claiming to live faith in Jesus Christ. I think there was a recent poll that they finally, for the first time ever, there was a majority of people who, when asked about religion, they said none. None. So you see, we have now become a minority. But God brings good out of all things. And if this is what's going to need to happen to be able to stir our faith into action, then praise the Lord. Because we have to make that choice. Are we really going to live it or are we not? Do we really truly believe it or do we not? It's that critical. And as we continue moving forward, and I've told you this many times, and I'll continue to tell you because it's coming, the church is going to be crucified. We're going to have to be persecuted for our faith rather soon. Are you ready? Do you have the prayer in place to be able to handle this? Do you have such complete and total faith in Jesus Christ, who is the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, became incarnate in the womb of the Virgin Mary and suffered and died so that our souls could be saved from our own sins and that we could go to heaven? Do you have such profound faith in him that you will be able to not rebel and not turn back when push comes to shove? He didn't. When it came right down to it, he remained faithful and he did not rebel and did not turn back. We're all going to have an opportunity to be able to prove ourselves one way or the other. And if we are afraid to be counted when we're out there among whomever, what are we going to do when push comes to shove? See, these things are really important. And as things are being eroded around us, the foundations that we've always been able to rely on aren't going to be there anymore. There is only one foundation, and that is the rock. And the rock is Jesus Christ. And if our house is not built firmly on that rock, it will crumble and it will fall. That's why this is so important. We're literally talking about the eternal salvation of our souls. This is not a minor thing. This isn't, oh, here he goes again. Now we're talking about your salvation. How important is that to you? Because there is only one way to be saved. How important is he to you? So this question that he asks his disciples is the same one he's going to ask you and me today. And as we move forward, doesn't matter who they say that he is. Who do you say that he is? Because that makes all the difference in the world. And if you are going to say that he is Lord and he is God, then we have to act on it. Because faith without works is dead.